to the FTN NBA podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, and Zach Graham.
Presented by the FTN Network.
Bringing you the analysis you need on breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the FTN NBA podcast. For the first time, we can actually say this is the second annual edition of a podcast. We did a free agency primer last year where we had Stefano on the show. It was, I want to say, like a 90-minute podcast, every single move in free agency. Going to do something a bit similar tonight. Obviously, free agency opened Monday evening, August 2nd at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So we're a little over 24 hours into free agency. The bulk of the moves are done. Obviously, still some floating around. But as always, before we get into it, I'm joined by my co-host, Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kweisenberg, and Adam Pfeiffer. He is back with us after a wonderful, relaxing vacation. Adam, I'll kick it to you first. How was your vacation, and how are you feeling about free agency so far?
Dude, so, yeah, like you said, I was on vacation, and I'm already, like, kind of away from stuff for a couple days. But, like, when I'm, you know, during vacation, when I have been on my phone and stuff, I've been kind of tracking NFL training camp stuff, obviously. But then, you know, what was it, yesterday, Monday night rolls around, it's like 5:45, and the start of free agency absolutely sneaks up on me, and we get all these deals like announced at like 6:02. Like, oh, I'm sure these teams haven't been talking prior to the start of free agency, but no, it's I'm glad to be back. I am glad to be back at home, you know, grinding not just the football stuff but basketball. I mean, it started with a lot of, you know, returns to teams we expected, right? But then we got some crazy news, you know, on Monday, and some more crazy stuff today. And the Lakers are trying to win the 2008 NBA championship. So that's cool. It's going to be fun. The NBA just doesn't stop.
Yeah. Zach, what about you?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like my sleep schedule has been off due to all the hoops. Like some people, they stop when the NBA finals end and then they'll pick it back up, you know, getting into MLB or NFL or something in between. But with this Olympic schedule over in Tokyo, like, and I know I'm like preaching to the choir here. Like, you got young Maxwell Metz running around. Like, your sleep schedule has been off, and mine's by choice because I'm watching freaking Slovenia at 2:30 in the morning.
But it's worth it.
But man, free. Yeah, absolutely.
Because Luke is, we can't talk about Luke girls. This podcast will be 2 hours long, but.
Correct.
My goodness.
Is he 17-0 now with the national team? Is that what it is?
And you guys can mark it down. I maintain this whole time the U.S. is winning gold, and Luka, I do think they beat France, and I think they lose to the United States in the title game. So we'll see how that goes. But free agency, shout out the NBA for making the free agency, or the start of free agency, 6 p.m. Eastern.
Because absolutely loved that.
I was never a fan of, like, you know, being out at the bars on Saturday night at midnight and then, like, just being distracted from everybody else because I've got 18 Woj notifications. So I do appreciate the start time. And like Adam said, like, I guess we can start with the Lakers here, right? Because that was kind of the first move last week with the Russ trade on draft night. But the Lakers making a ton of moves here.
Did you guys see my Buddy Hield tweet?
No,
like that night, I tweeted the video of Isaiah Thomas from The Last Dance about him being selected to the Olympic team, and what it's so infamous. He goes, "I met the criteria to be selected, but I was like," that's how I felt like Buddy Hield felt, because it sounded like they were going to trade for Buddy Hield, and all of a sudden, wait a second, hold on, we have a deal for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, really. Well, I guess we can start there, like.
Yeah,
we did a pre-draft podcast, and, you know, Zach, you, me, and Steph talked about all of these hypothetical trades that we thought were pretty realistic. And honestly, Russell Westbrook to the Lakers would have been one of the last things I ever would have brainstormed. If anyone was leaving Washington, I thought it was going to be Bradley Beal. I think it was a surefire bet that one of them was going to be gone prior to October. Like I said, Beal being the most likely one. Turns out it's Russell Westbrook. He is headed to L.A. For a box of rocks, essentially. Some may view Russell Westbrook as a box of rocks. That is another discussion for a different podcast when we bring on someone named Eddie Fear. But you know, Kyle Kuzma on it. He's probably the main piece from
which the Lakers heading to Washington. Everything about the deal.
Which says everything. Like, correct.
What do they get? 2 second-round picks? And it's like, okay, if this is the NFL, a second-round pick is awesome, right? But, like, the Lakers are going to be good. Second-round pick, you don't see a lot of second-round picks be really great players in the NBA. I know we've seen some more lately, but, I mean, and then KCP and Montreal. Like, I didn't like the trade for the fit, but to give up that to get a player of Westbrook's caliber, like, it's going to be fun. Like, it's
gonna be also, fun. I just don't think Montrez fit on the Lakers, too. So, for them, the Lakers really didn't give up anything. You know, the value they got Dwight
back today.
To NBA. Like, correct, exactly. So, I have expressed my sentiments on Russell Westbrook over and over on the podcast, over and over in my articles, over and over on the Dream Stream with Zach. Like, phenomenal individual player, great at basketball. I will never, ever, ever take that away from him. I just still have not seen that he is, one, capable of helping a team accomplish their goals as the guy. I think now this is, for the first time in his career, a situation where he will have the chance to show that he can be a complimentary championship piece. Mm-hmm. Because as hard as he tries on a team with LeBron James, he's not going to be that guy. He's not. So I think it's going to be telling, I guess. I think this is going to be a very telling season for Russell Westbrook's legacy, for lack of a better
word. So, yeah, like, this podcast, like we talked about, when we kind of, like, relaunched it, we're still going to be talking about fantasy, and we can talk about fantasy implications, because especially with a situation like this when you have now three very high-usage players. Like, I don't want to – sometimes we get, like, too worried, like, maybe even when he went to Houston, right? Like, is he going to – like, Russell Westbrook is going to maybe not average a triple-double again with LeBron in it, but he's going to be, like, you know – 8+ rebounds, 9. Like, he's going to put numbers up. And I think the Lakers are going to play faster this year, too. But how, like, they signed Malik Monk today, which I actually really liked. But, like, this team, in terms of 3-point shooting, I mean, they were bad last year, right? 35%, 34.9% from three. They were bottom, what, 6 in the league, 7 in the league. Then, like, however you feel about Kuzma and KCP, like, those were probably two of their best 3-point shooters. And it's like, they also bring in Melo. Like, they're going to have the closing five of what? Westbrook? And we got to remember, because LeBron had been playing point guard, like true point guard, until they brought in Schroeder this year. And then when Schroeder missed games, LeBron was back to playing. So, like, LeBron's not actually going to play pure point guard nearly as much as he has the last 2 years with the Lakers with Russ there. So what? They're closing five. LeBron's probably going to close at what? The four?
I would assume.
I don't know how they close with. I would assume close with Davis at the four. They can't.
No, they would. As much as he wants to play the four, he even admitted during the first round last season that, like, we're the best when I'm at the five, and I'm willing to play that. So I think now they need to do it. So I think it would go,
because they also have they still have Schroeder, right? Or no, he's a free agent.
He's a free agent, but I don't think he's coming back. So no, there's I think their closing five will be Russ, AD at the five, LeBron at the four.
I bet you Ariza's probably close.
Ariza. I think it's gonna be Ariza or Bazemore,
and they're gonna play the four, or LeBron can play the four. But either way, there's gonna be a situation where statistically, perhaps their best 3-point shooter in a closing five is Trevor Ariza, and like, that's not great. like I said, it's going to be fun, because I don't care that it's 2021 and these guys are towards the back end of their career. To have LeBron and Melo on the same team for the first time is going to be like, I don't care if they're past their, like, that in itself is awesome. What do you think, Zach? What do you think about these Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I differ too much from you guys. Completely agree on their closing five. Like, Joe and I were talking before we hit record, and I just don't, like, we're going to find out, like, what happens with Russell Westbrook in a game six of a conference finals or an NBA finals if the Lakers make it there. Like, and how does that work? I think it's a great move for the regular season, because you always know Russ is going to go out there and give 100%, and he's going to do his crazy energy thing and be, you know, like you guys said, going after those triple doubles. And that can take a lot of that regular season pounding off LeBron, and we kind of saw him last year. Like, obviously, ankle injuries can be fluky, but for a guy who was like the definition of the NBA Iron Man through the first 95% of his career, he's taken a couple hits the last few years, and yeah. You know, it all ends for somebody at some point, right? And so, when is that coming for LeBron? I don't know, but I think that's the biggest positive of the Westbrook acquisition, is being able to take some of that load off of LeBron and Anthony Davis, because Anthony Davis doesn't stay healthy either. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of that stopgap where we saw when those guys went down this season, they faded back to the play-in game, you know?
Yeah.
And I think with Russ there, I think you just have a bit of a higher floor in terms of your seeding.
Yeah, 100%.
And just the last thing on Carmelo, like, I just don't, like, LeBron had so many chances in his career. Because, like, if I subscribe to 100%. Kind of the ideology that LeBron is the GM of his team. Nobody is signed or released or traded without his blessing. And LeBron was out there before Melo got on Portland. Like, somebody signed this man. Motherfucker. Sorry.
You signed him.
But, like, that was just my whole sentiment that whole time. Like, I just – that always just came off so fake to me. And I feel like, you know, now Melo's, what, 37? Going to be 38 maybe next year? Like, I just don't see how he really helps this team. So
it just – it feels like a – and I almost feel disrespectful saying this. It feels like a pity signing. Like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
LeBron's point of view, hey, I did everything I could to get these rings. Now it's, you know what? I'm going to help you get a ring so you don't mm-hmm. have to retire without
it. Was anybody else going to sign him?
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. Like, if any team was going to
be Portland.
I mean, I would not have been opposed to Milwaukee signing him. I don't know if they would have. But yeah, like you said, I don't think it was going to be Portland, especially after they gave Norman Powell 5 for $90. They don't have a ton of cap space to play with, which is why I kind of think it's like a pity signing. That's no absolutely zero disrespect to Carmelo. He's one absolutely. Of my favorite players of all time. But I don't know. I think it's a pity signing. I just the average age of this team.
Yeah.
Like 32, 33.
I saw somebody tweeted like the Lakers are they put like LARP. Like, I saw that earlier.
I saw that, and I saw that they would be the best team in NBA 2K13, which is pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. Melo's a beast in 2K. Just get him in the post. It's over.
I know.
But I'm going to root for this team because I absolutely love Russ. I love him so much, and I love Melo. But I like you guys said, like, this is probably going to be a situation where they're going to put up numbers in the regular season. They're obviously, you know, they wouldn't have been in the play-in game if LeBron didn't have the ankle injury. We know that. So they're going to be a top, you know, 4 seed at worst. But like Zach said, the playoffs is when it's going to be really interesting. And the fit with Westbrook is definitely to be determined, but like the signings of Dwight, bringing him back, he was very good for the Lakers in their title season in 2020. And then I love the Malik Monk signing and the Kendrick Nunn signing. Like, I thought those were two very good additions. So it wasn't just like the Westbrook deal, and then we kind of worried about if this team really knows where they're going. Like, I think that they're obviously going to be good, but you know, when you're tightening that rotation and you have to, you know, teams are going on, you know, 12-2 runs because they're hitting threes and you can't, you know, catch up, like, that's going to be interesting for this team, because we know as much as Westbrook is amazing, like, statistically the worst high volume 3-point shooter in the history of the league. Like, that's facts.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting. The Lakers and Bulls, man, like, they're just dominating the headlines right now.
Yeah. So why don't the Bulls are what I wanted to hit on next. I really, really like what the Bulls have put together.
It's hard not to.
And it's hard not to from the standpoint of a basketball fan, because I think this is going to be a very fun team to watch. I think I'm not going to say they're similar to the Hawks, but I think the leap, like the ceiling of the leap they take, could be similar to the Hawks last year, where they went from the lottery to, you know, potentially the 5 seed in the East. I think that's their ceiling. Mm-hmm. I think the Bulls will finish probably 6 or 7 seed. But at the end of the day, you know, you have a starting five. My estimate right now, if their roster right now sticks, like I don't know if Lowry's going to be there, but I would assume their starting five is going to go Lonzo, LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Pat Williams,
yeah,
and Vucevic, with Kobe White off the bench. Probably if Lowry stays around, which I kind of think it's less likely he does, but him off the bench as well. I mean, that team, especially in the Eastern Conference, will get you into the playoffs. Will you go anywhere? Probably not. But I don't necessarily think they're expecting to go, at least the fan base. I don't think they're expecting to go
when
anywhere.
When they traded for Vucevic last year, like this was their plan, right? To try to attract free agents. And they obviously did that, right? They get the sign and trade with Lonzo, and they bring in DeMar DeRozan. For me, this is going to be a team. We didn't see it that much last year because when Vucevic was brought in, that there was a stretch where LaVine was out of lineup for a while, and then he was still obviously – they were both posting strong games. But you saw LaVine's numbers for fantasy drop a little bit with Vucevic there, and now you add – Lonzo's not really a huge ball-dominant player, especially last year. And then DeRozan can be. Like, DeRozan's the guy that I worry about the most for fantasy just because – like he was good with the Spurs, but his facilitating was like it skyrocketed with the Spurs. Remember his time with Toronto, his first couple years, he was not the greatest in peripherals. He was like a 25 point per game guy with like 3 and 4 assists and rebounds. And then he was facilitating a lot with the Spurs. I don't think he's going to have that role, but Lonzo is interesting because the average, I'll say, NBA fan still considers Lonzo like a guy who just can't shoot threes, and that's not really the case anymore, man. Like, a lot of it was because he was playing alongside Zion and Brandon Ingram, and there was a point last year where Zion was literally finally bringing the ball up and running in transition. And Lonzo last year, actually, there were three players in the NBA that averaged more spot-up points per game than Lonzo. It was Jalen, or actually two. It was Malik Beasley and Marcus Morris. Lonzo Ball averaged 6.2 points per game off spot-up jump shots. Like, he was a spot-up shooter last year. And, like, I don't think he's going to be this ball-dominant point guard because you have Zach LaVine there and Vucevic plays so much in the post and DeRozan's going to handle the ball. But it's just in terms of, like, the starting five in the East, like, we'll see what happens at the Sixers. I'll still obviously take Milwaukee starting five, and Brooklyn can start anybody at their you know, center and, small forward positions, and they'll be better, obviously. But you can make the case that they're right there. I mean, Miami's good, too, but that starting five is very good.
Yeah, I agree. Zach, what are your thoughts on the Bulls? And also, I guess we didn't have an Alex Caruso either, so why don't you take it away with the Bulls?
Yeah, so that's what I thought we were going to bridge from the Lakers to the Bulls with Alex Caruso secure in the bag, right? Like almost $10 million a year. I think it was 37.
4 for 37.
Over 4. Yeah. And I think he can pay off those fines from his college station arrest from a couple months ago. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I differ much from what you guys said. Like, I love Lonzo Ball
because he's so
versatile on both ends. Like you guys said, mm-hmm. he might not be handling the ball or facilitating as much on this team. And I think he's fine with that. Like, I think he can play off the ball and be just as successful. Like, obviously we saw his shooting numbers improve last year, like Adam mentioned, and defensively, like a backcourt of Lonzo and Alex Caruso is like, those are some dogs on defense. Like I love what they've done. It's going to be interesting to see how they fill out the rest of this roster. And I'm right there with you guys that I think the ceiling is probably a second round exit for this team, barring again, assuming health for the rest of the league. But like, I feel like Pat Williams is like the perfect four man to put with these other four guys.
He's such a good fit with Vucevic, especially.
Rosen, I'll save my Spurs corner, which is going to be renamed Tank Corner from here on out.
That's so weird, man.
For the later.
Tank for you? I know.
Yeah. But, DeRozan, he got paid. And good for him. Yep. Like, because
Was it 3 for 85? Is that what it was?
Yeah, like, that's like his...
That's a lot of money for him in his stage of his career, yeah.
Right? Like, I'm surprised he got it, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. I mean, he's a player. It's hard not to like DeMar DeRozan. He's never, I don't want to say made a bad decision in his career, but he's never rubbed a fan base the wrong way. He's shown loyalty. Mm-hmm. But I think there's another angle to take with Lonzo Ball where, you guys, I think there is a possibility, like you guys said, that he plays a lot more off the ball. I think there's also a possibility that he dominates like possession time, but operates as a distributor for this team simply because, you know, we've seen Zach LaVine just light it up from three. DeMar DeRozan lives in the mid-range. Vucevic can score from all three levels, and Pat Williams can shoot. Like, he's surrounded by – I'd be okay with all four of those guys around Lonzo Ball taking a three.
If you look at the makeup of their starting five, they have players that can win in different ways, right? Vucevic is an elite post player who can, you know, get also work in the pick and pop. Lonzo has all of a sudden become a very, very, I don't even want to say capable. He's like legitimately very solid 3-point shooter now. LaVine can drive at will, but he's also been a high volume and really strong 3-point shooter. And then DeRozan's never really been a 3-point shooter, but he lives in the mid range and drives. Yep. So like they have everything, which is really going to give defenses different looks.
Which I don't think, and I don't mean to like gas the Bulls up a ton when I say this. I just don't know, like, you know, these are all players that have barely played together, so there could be some team chemistry issues. But I also, the potential cohesiveness for this unit and how all of their games are very different but fit really well together. I don't know how many offenses gel like that in the NBA. Like, there's not two players in the starting lineup that have a very similar. Exactly.
Yeah. They're different, man. Like, they're.
I agree. I think, and you know, Adam, you and I hit on it so much last year when we saw in New Orleans when Zion started to take over as the primary pick and roll ball handler. We saw, like you said, the spot up production from Lonzo Ball. I think we see more Lonzo Ball prior to Stan Van Gundy's adjustment with that and setting up the pick and rolls.
I think it'll be a little bit of both. It won't be like as much as it was prior to the Zion starting to take over, but it won't be. I don't think it'll be as low as it was once he finally did start to take over. And I think that's kind of where Lonzo's at his best because, like, he's, like, obviously coming out of college at UCLA, you look at him and you go, okay, he's a guy that needs the ball in his hands, but, like, he really doesn't. Like, he's going to have the ball in his hands plenty, but he's not a point guard that has to have, you know, he's not going to be like a Trae Young type, you know, or Luka Doncic type, you know, time possession type of player. And I think that fits really well when you have Zach LaVine, Vucevic, and now DeMar DeRozan. And like their bench still has some players too. Like we'll see what happens with Laurie Markkanen, but Kobe White, Alex Caruso, like Zach said, like they're not going to be better than, you know, barring anything crazy. The Sixers, the Heat, their ceiling is to be like the Heat, but like the Heat obviously are, you know, the Heat had it was a weird season in general last year, but especially with Miami, I feel like half their team had COVID and stuff like that. But
they were healthy when they lost in the playoffs, though. Let's just clarify that.
Who did they lose really to?
I don't know. I just know they were healthy and they got absolutely scorched.
I think the Bulls will be at best probably five seed, but like,
yep.
We've seen teams get hot, you know, like, are they going to have a run like the Hawks? Probably not.
Look at this year. The Hawks were an injury away from potentially going to the NBA finals. Like, I think, if anything, last year is proof that like anything can still happen.
Jock Landale to the Spurs. If you've been watching the Olympics,
I'm gonna be honest. I really thought this was like John Collins news or something.
We're still waiting on that too.
Well, I know Atlanta offered the 5 for $125, but have not heard anything else on that. So Adam, you provided a good segue to Miami, who made a ton of moves, spent a ton of money. Like a massive amount of money between three players, $364 million over a total span of 5 years between three players. And then they filled out, you know, they retained Dwayne Dedmon, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, ripped my heart out and took PJ Tucker from Milwaukee. which Zach, I liked your dog's reference for Chicago. I caught on to that. but I guess so. Jimmy Butler, the 4 for $184 max extension. Kyle Lowry, the 3 for $90 sign and trade. And Duncan Robinson, 5 for $90.
Duncan Robinson got the bag.
So he got the bag, and I think this is again similar to Davis Bertans and Joe Harris.
Yep.
It's proof that shooting like pays the bills in the NBA. It's
the difference.
I do think
Duncan Robinson can actually defend, unlike Bertans. So that's good.
Yeah,
like he can actually hold his own defensively. I feel like for the Heat, though, a team that like we saw last year, and I think it was a huge reason why they just don't match up well against a team like Milwaukee. They aren't a very successful team. Like their best player is a mid-range guy, and like Jimmy Butler is great. He's a top 15 player in the league, but they really only had Duncan Robinson that's capable of getting hot from three, especially with Tyler Hero struggling last year. So like I feel like as you know, weird as it sounds to say you had to give Duncan Robinson $90 million over 5 years, I feel like they had to.
Yeah, that's, I think that's fair. My big, so I was kind of triggering some Heat fans on Twitter on Monday night.
Of course you were.
It's just, it's like my favorite hobby and hobby. It's my favorite hobby. Oh, yeah. Sorry, hobby. Oh, wow.
Freudian slip. Wow.
So I, again, like, I don't dislike these players. I just, you know, say you're in the second round in an elimination game. Do you really trust the backcourt of Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler to be able to knock down clutch threes and will you to a win? I think I trust Jimmy or Kyle Lowry against a team like Milwaukee more than Jimmy Butler. But Kyle Lowry is going to, he's another point guard. Drew Holiday is going to give him absolute fits. I think Jimmy, and you look at the defense.
Drew Holiday was
like
giving
Milwaukee,
fits to the shiftiest point guards in the NBA. You know,
Drew Holiday is, I will have another 3 hour podcast strictly to just praise Drew Holiday on and off the court. But, and then you have like Jimmy Butler, who obviously a very specific play style, but, you know, say depending how seeding goes next season, you know, if they do run into a team like Milwaukee in the second round, if there's a defense, and we saw this in 2021, if there's a defense literally designed to stop a player like Jimmy Butler, it's Milwaukee. So I have my concerns. I think they just spent an overwhelming amount of money to get bounced in the second round. That's the way. And that's
let's
like
talk
the
about, I want
to
talk about Lowry. Like great player, obviously. I see a lot of hype about Miami, right? And like, I don't think the move of getting Kyle Lowry into the starting five is moving the needle for me. I really don't. And that's, Kyle Lowry is a great player, but like, I just, like, they're not, from to me on paper, better than the Sixers with Ben Simmons or without Ben Simmons. They're not better than Milwaukee for obvious reasons we talked about with the matching up. They're not better than Brooklyn. Like, I still think the ceiling for this team, like Jimmy Butler is going to, like I said, he's going to be a top 15 player at, you know, at worst. He's that dude. The ceiling for this team comes from Bam Adebayo taking another step forward, because we saw last year he started to kind of get like that little pull up mid range shot from like the free throw line. And if he starts to kind of work on a 3-point shot, then that could be the difference maker, obviously, for a team that's takes a lot of threes, but isn't exactly successful doing so. Like, I just think Lowry, the difference between him and Dragic isn't as massive as like a lot of people might think it is. Like, Lowry's a better player, I think, but like, I also think Goran Dragic is like legitimately good too. And when he obviously has missed a lot of time, so that helps if you know, if Lowry's going to play, you know, 70 games, 65 games, whereas Dragic might play 50, 55. But I don't know, like, am I underrating this Heat team? Like, I just, like, for me, they're still locked into that four seed for me, and that's fine. And they can, you know, they have the pieces to be good, but I don't know, it didn't really move the needle for me. Like, it's exciting. It's a, you know, popular player on a new team, but I don't know, Zach, what do you think about Miami? Like, are you higher on the Lowry move than I am? Do you feel great about them keeping Duncan Robinson? And then what did they make any other, I mean, they just brought Markieff Morrison and, like you said, PJ Tucker.
Right. I mean, that was going to be my first question to you guys, was how much better is Kyle Lowry than Goran Dragic at this point?
I think he's better. I don't think it's substantial.
Right. Is it, you know, maybe it wins you, you know, against Miami, obviously they got handled, maybe against a lesser team you get out of the first round, but like, and to this team's credit, like, they were one of the teams that got hit hardest during the COVID year with guys being out, and guys like Jimmy Butler, right? He struggled with COVID. Like, I think he lost like 15 pounds or something like that. And so all the credit to him for what he did over the second half of the season. And if they put a run like that together, you know, they're probably going to end up top four in the East if they continue to play like they did over the last 2 months of the regular season. But I feel like, you know, we're just kind of playing the same song here. Like,
do they still have Oladipo on the roster?
No, I believe he's a free agent.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, they could, like, with guys like that, the thing is, like, there's not a ton of money left. It doesn't seem to me. Like, I haven't looked at all 30 teams, admittedly, like the cap sheets after what happened today. But like, these guys, like guys like Oladipo, guys like Dennis Schroeder, Reggie Jackson.
They're not taking the MLEs, like.
But they might have to.
That was going to be my next point. Like, I feel
it was
like,
also a loaded point guard class for free agency too, right? Like it's like Lowry was the top guy, but like we saw Derrick Rose get a lot of money.
I think it's a low ceiling loaded class,
right? Right? Yeah, I agree.
And it's a class with a lot of fall off too. Like, if you miss on those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, look at New Orleans. Like, I don't hate Devontae Graham, but that's a far. I would have rather retained Lonzo Ball.
You've just got point guards like being thrown in the trash, essentially. Like, you look at like Kemba Walker, and obviously his knee plays a big factor in that. But like, these guys who were very recently like all star caliber players are now just wasting away on certain teams. And I just don't like, obviously. Kyle Lowry is still very much an above average point guard at worst. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
But I just don't see how this team is certainly not a contender as it stands.
Correct. I think to your point, I again, above average player at worst, just at this point in his career, isn't that piece to move a needle to be a championship contending team.
They will be probably a top five defensive team, right? I mean,
yep.
Lowry, Robinson, Butler, Tucker, Bam is a pretty good five starter unit on the defensive end. But again, like PJ Tucker's, he's going to have the same role, right? He's going to sit in the corner on offense and he's going to get offensive rebounds and play defense. Bam has no 3-point game right now. Butler he'd rather play. Like, I like mid range scorers. That's fine. But like, it's 2021. You need to have some sort of, you know, presence from three. And Duncan Robinson's really the only guy, and
paid for it too,
right? And like I think they had to, and like,
yeah, of course,
I think they'll be good, but I'm not putting them really close to the top three teams in the East. So,
yeah. Hey, shout out Mickey Arison though, always willing to spend the money to try to make his team better. Like, you know, especially in a year where I don't think the cruise lines did especially well in the past calendar year. These guys are probably, if they don't get into the tax, they're going to be right up at the line. Less than half the owners in the league are willing to do that. So,
Completely agree. The last team that really spent, I'm just looking at teams that spent like a large chunk of money. Was New York, you know, no stranger to spending money. The way they spent it, though, to me, I like each of these individual pieces. So they retained Alec Burks, 3 for 30. Retained Nerlens Noel,
like
3 for 32.
One of those sneaky, really, really smart.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like they retained Nerlens Noel, 3 for 32. I think Nerlens Noel is one of the best backup centers in the NBA. Maybe the best for his role. But then you retain Derrick Rose
now, right?
Oh, we're gonna get to that. Derrick Rose retained 3 for 43. Evan Fournier 4 for 70. Evan Fournier got these Olympics have worked wonders for Evan Fournier.
That was the one that stood out to me. But like,
so it's,
they were
it's
they
Fournier
were what, first
and Rose.
In cap. Were they first in cap space?
Yes.
They were up there.
Yes, they were. They were. Yeah. And you know, a report came out today that they offered Kendrick Nunn more money than the Lakers were able to offer, but he still took the cut, went to LA. I mean, I guess if you're looking to win, that makes sense. But I don't hate, and you know, Stefano kind of echoed my point on Twitter the other day or yesterday. Like, I don't hate these individual contracts, but together it just feels like they're not necessarily now stuck in NBA purgatory. But I don't think these moves give them necessarily a higher ceiling than they had in 2020-21.
Yeah.
I think
the problem is they're coming off a year where they surprised everybody. They were, the fourth seed, right?
Yep, they were the fourth seed and lost in five to the Hawks.
Coming off a season where they surprised everybody, got hot. Julius Randle was an incredible player. Derrick Rose rejuvenated, like, really good. And then you have a season where an offseason where you have the most cap in the NBA, but it's also not exactly the strongest free agency class. And it's like, if this was a team that won 22 games last year, they probably just say, you know what, we'll
screw
get a couple signings maybe, and then next year we'll probably look to spend. But now they're in a situation, and I think that's part of it. Tom Thibodeau comes in, does a great job, and all these things happen, and they look to be kind of an ascending team. And then you say, okay, you know, the Eastern Conference, like we're not as far off as we think. Let's go sign a lot of these players and let's bring back Derrick Rose and let's give Evan Fournier a lot of money. Let's bring back Alec Burks. I think that probably had a lot to do with it. I don't know if they're, you know, I'm not necessarily saying they're right or wrong. I just think that might have been their thought process.
Yeah, I agree. Zach, what is your, curious to hear your take on New York. I just, these feel like a lot of lateral moves to me for their outlook for next year.
Yeah, I just, like, what else did people want them to do? I'm sure that's Knicks fans exactly. had outrageous expectations, as they always do.
I think they still want to get Giannis somehow, still.
Or Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, yeah. Damian Lillard, all of them, yeah.
But, I mean, the fact is, I still think they have a decently attractive package to offer if a star becomes available, because we know how quickly landscapes yeah. can change in the NBA for a team. And, you know, just using Damian Lillard as an example, 6 months ago, I don't think any of us were really thinking he wanted out. And now that's yeah. kind of the prevailing speculation around that team. A package of RJ Barrett, Mitch Robinson, Obi Toppin, and picks is not the worst thing that a team could get back in a trade yeah, for one of their best
maybe throw in, like,
players.
If you have to, Emmanuel quickly. Like, that's...
Sure.
That's the thing. They do have some young assets. They do have good assets on this team.
Kevin Knox will be playing in the summer league again. Maybe he finally produces.
Fourth summer league in a row.
I didn't know he was still alive, to be honest. But if you added a stud with Julius Randle as your second best player and Evan Fournier as your third, like that, I think that's a team that can get to the second round. And for where this franchise has been for the majority of our lives, I mean, I guess, you know, the 90s were quote unquote the glory days for people closer to our age. But, you know, Adam, I know you don't, you probably don't remember back in the 90s since you know, just graduated high school or whatever.
First of all, I'm older than Joe, first of all. Second
hey,
of all,
just,
you're
that's
right.
That's just what I heard. You saw the videos, not just from the game in Madison Square Garden that they won in the first round, but how hype NYC was after that game outside the garden and everything.
Oh my
like,
God.
Imagine if this team gets to the second round next year. So I think that's like kind of the ceiling, is if they can make one of those moves. And if not, you keep these guys together, you're going to be a middling team anyways. And you kind of just push that forward a year and see what you can do. You know, to Adam's point earlier, like Alec Burks for $10 million a year is very tradable, and it's acceptable yep, to have true, as a scorer true. Off the bench. Nerlens Noel, $10 million a year for one, like Joe said, one of the better backup centers, if not the best backup center in the league. D Rose obviously showed last year that in spurts, he can be a guy out there that carries your second unit. And not just, you know, treads
or your
water,
first unit, to be honest. Look at the playoffs.
Sure. I mean, and he can, you know.
I was going to ask you guys, do you think he opens the season off the bench?
I do.
I would say probably.
But then
you can also just keep.
You got to sign quick, or you're starting quickly then, right?
Right. You have to. And then you can and then you can just have Burks come off the bench, which, you mm-hmm. know, he's a very good bench scorer as well. But like theoretically, like a starting five of Derrick Rose, RJ Barrett, Evan Fournier, Julius Randle, and Mitchell Robinson, solid across the board. Like it's solid.
Hey, let's not forget these guys have the draft rights to Ruckus Jokubaitis. So you know, that's kind of their little sleeping giant there. We'll watch out. I don't know if he's playing summer league for them or not. And also, summer league's going on right now. Salt Lake Summer League started tonight. So
that's right. It started tonight.
Tune into
that's
that crazy. Later.
Mac McClung's playing right now, right?
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you. I just know the Spurs play later on.
So those were really the teams that made the most moves, I guess. But then there were some other interesting kind of just contracts I wanted to hit on. First, I'm just going to go through a couple contracts and see if you guys are in or out on them. I think this will be a fun game. Okay. Tim Hardaway Jr., 4 for $74.
I'm in. Tim Hardaway Jr. was really good down the stretch last year, and
that's like, a lot of money for someone that shoots so inefficiently. And
Dallas was out on all the point guards, right? Like Lowry wasn't I'm saying, like they were out. They were not getting the point guards.
Why were they going after a point guard? Why?
I don't know.
But
they were heavy.
The thing
on
is, they have like
point
Luka's
guard.
Not a point guard, but he is a primary ball
handler. I think they just want somebody to take some pressure off Luka. But like
supposed to be Porzingis.
You can't tell me the guy who averages almost 10 assists a game isn't the point guard.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
you're right.
Why would you get any of those guys?
Joe, you mentioned it's supposed to be Porzingis. I think that's why this signing happened, because there was a long stretch where Tim Hardaway Jr. was by far this team's second best player. And that, you know, that's Dallas is not going to go anywhere unless Luka somehow gets even better, which I guess he could because he's amazing. But like, for me, that's kind of why the signing I liked. I didn't love it. I just thought it was appropriate because he's legitimately their second best player. Josh Richardson didn't pan out last year for this team. Obviously, Porzingis was very underwhelming. So this doesn't change how we look at Dallas, right? Like, we know this team isn't going to compete for a title necessarily unless they get Luka some more help. And Tim Hardaway Jr. isn't exactly that, but keeping him keeps this team kind of afloat until they can kind of, because Luka's becoming, or not, he's already is a player that other players are going to want to play with. It's just maybe it's a different class in free agency that'll happen, but I was fine with the signing.
I mean, you got to re-sign the best piece from Boban. That trade, right? I mean, you got to re-sign the best piece from the Tim Hardaway Jr. trade. And that's Tim Hardaway Jr. you had
good
to
point.
Do it.
It's a good point.
But
I like their Reggie Bullock signing, 3 for 30.5.
I think
he earned the money.
I want Cleveland to try to get Reggie Bullock very badly. Yeah. I think Reggie Bullock's very solid.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. So
he's better like on a playoff team though.
Yeah.
Correct. That's also true. he has literally no value on a team like Cleveland, Adam. None.
Especially since they're going to have like the youngest starting five ever potentially this year.
And they're going to have just the new Stanford Towers and the Lopez brothers. Mobley,
it's so weird, but I'm not mad about it. Should we talk about that?
I'm going to keep going through. Yeah. Yeah. Why, yeah. Because actually the next contract I was going to say is Jared Allen 5 for 100.
People didn't like this.
I'm torn. I think Mobley's path to his highest ceiling is at the center.
That's why I'm torn as well, because Evan Mobley is like 7 feet. Like, Evan Mobley is not a power forward. He obviously needs to put on some more weight.
He's versatile enough.
Right. Like, he can,
where you can get away with it for a bit.
Yeah. Mobley's a guy that, he can bring the ball up and stuff. And that's like, he's very exciting. That's why I'm glad Cleveland, even though the fit exactly wasn't there, didn't trade out of number three. I was very, very happy. Here's the thing with Jared Allen. He is so young. He just turned 23. Mm-hmm. And
wow. I didn't realize he was that young.
Dude, he just turned 23.
Holy cow.
I was recruiting his teammate a couple years ago.
Like, Jared Allen is very productive. He's like, I don't think he's going to develop a consistent 3-point shot, which obviously, hurts, but 5-year, $100 million seems like a lot, but.
But he'll only be 28 when that contract is over.
That's what I'm saying, man. He literally just turned 23.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He turned 23, April? Like, I'm okay with it, but I do wish, there was more clarity on, how they're going to use Mobley and Allen. But, again, that's starting five. I talked about it. You're going to have, as of right now, there's potential trade, but, Sexton, Garland, Isaac Okoro, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. Who's the oldest player in the starting five? Is it Allen? Is it Sexton? 23, 24? That's insane.
I think it's Sexton at 24, I think. That's nuts.
I think that Jared Allen contract, I think, unless he totally just falls off, which I don't like, I think he's going to continue to get better throughout this deal.
That's why I'm not completely.
Well, I think it's going to be 22. A tradable contract too, if needed. Like, if Evan Mobley just completely erupts, I don't think Jared Allen's going to bottom out to the point.
And there's always a team at the deadline that's a playoff team that needs a center. It happens every year.
Mm-hmm. And it's usually whatever team LeBron's on
or Brooklyn.
Well, so what's going to happen with Kevin Love here? Is he getting moved at him or what?
I honestly wouldn't be obviously I have no inside information, obviously. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be stunned if he retired. I really wouldn't. Mm-hmm. He's had so many injuries the past couple years. I don't want him to. Kevin Love was legitimately one of my favorite players ever. But, if there's a Ben Simmons deal or another deal in place, he's the guy to go. And I just, it's obvious that this team has been rebuilding since LeBron left the second time. But with the youth they have right now, Kevin Love doesn't really fit. He's the veteran and he's
right.
Kevin Love's still a very effective player, but yeah, like there's going to be teams that like Kevin Love can, again, the contract is massive, but
I mean, I think there's 60 million reasons he doesn't retire. I could see him retiring after the deal is up, but
yeah,
why would you leave? You know,
I think there's going to be teams that need a stretch four, and he's going to fit perfectly because he's not going to be a guy that you're going to have to play 35 minutes either. He can slide into a playoff team and play, you know, 24 to 26 minutes and give you 12 and 8 in those minutes because he's still pretty effective. Would I be mad if he was still on Cleveland? Not at all. I don't know how he starts on this team with Mobley and Jared Allen, especially after you just gave Jared Allen $100 million over 5 years. Right. You're starting him, and then you draft Evan Mobley third overall. I don't think he's coming off the bench. So
there's too much just capital in both of those players now, Mobley and Allen, to really put stock in Kevin Love.
The question is, Kevin Love, is he going to want to come off the bench on a bad team at this point of his career?
I think that's where he draws the line. I think he's fine to come off the bench.
Especially at this point of his career, but not on Cleveland.
Correct. Exactly.
For the Jared Allen deal, I was fine with it. As a Cavs fan, like there's non-Cavs fans that think they just massively spent too much, but like that's the thing. Like even like Joe follows the NBA as much as anybody I know, and he was even surprised that Jared Allen's only 23. So you know, there's millions of other people that go, he's been in the league for a few years. He's probably like 23 years old. So he's gonna get better.
Yeah. Fair. Couple other contracts I'm going to throw at you guys. Gary Trent, 3 for 54 with Toronto. Zach, I'll start with you.
That's fine.
Fine, yeah. It seems like a lot of money, but
they're not going anywhere fast.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think 3 years is fine.
Do you think Siakam and Toronto are like legitimately looking to move on?
I think it's Siakam and Nurse.
Right.
You know, I don't know if there's really
he got suspended last year for what, a game?
Yeah, because like, of how he
was getting into it with the coach. Right. And I don't know if that extends to Masai in the front office, right? Like, I think the point remains that it's not the best situation or the best fit right now. And unless we get some sort of evidence that they mended that relationship, I could definitely see them. It's not giving up on him, but shipping him out.
Yeah, and like Toronto is completely fallen off the last 2 years. Like they had a rough year last year with injuries and everything as well. But like they are no longer, obviously, and we expected it once Kawhi left. They're not going to be in contention, but like they're going to be in a tough spot too, right? They're going to be good enough to where we keep talking about like New York and Chicago and some of these other teams. Like Toronto's going to be in that mix because like they still have Fred VanVleet, they still have Siakam, who are top, you know, 30 players probably if you look at it or close to it. I hope they start to play Chris Boucher more minutes consistently because on a permanent basis he's obviously been great.
I don't know if you do though, Adam. Like isn't he like 29? He's like almost 30.
Yeah, he's old. That's the thing. I just don't know how much better
he gets. He's foul prone. Like I think we just want it because we want
that's
to
very
plan
true.
In fantasy.
It's also easy to just assume that Boucher is younger because he spent so much time in
It's like the opposite. D-League. It's the opposite Jared Allen. It's like
exactly. Like he really hasn't had a ton of time on NBA court. It's like, what is it, Andre Ingram? That guy from
Lakers
a couple of years ago. Another contract I'm going to throw at you before we get to a big one. Norman Powell, 5 and 90, returning to Portland.
Sure. I mean, again, I'm fine with that.
If
you're tearing it down, right? If you're dealing Dame, you're probably going to get picks and cheap contracts. Yep. You're probably shipping off Nurk, Covington.
Well, Nurk has come out and said that he's not there if Dame's there.
Right.
If Dame's
gone. So having Norman Powell there to go get 23 a night, like.
Well, that's my thing. When you saw me cringe, I think that feels like Portland is bracing themselves to let Damian Lillard go. I think that's what I took from this signing. The other one that's Chris Paul, 4 for 120 with Cleveland. Phoenix. Sorry, I didn't mean to get you all hot and bothered over there. so I think it was a pretty widely understood that he was going to turn down his 1 year, $44 million option, yep. sign a multi-year deal. I was thinking it would be like 3 for 90, 3 for 80, something.
Dude, I said 3 for 60 last week on the pod.
You did. I thought it was going to be 3 for 90. I thought he was going to get a lot of money, which this is almost the same. But man, he's going to be nearing 40 years old at the end of a $120 million contract. This could go very, very, very poorly for Phoenix.
I just love that Robert Sarver, who is a dunce of an owner, like yep. he finally does the right thing where like you had to re-sign Chris Paul. You have to. Because the fans
and you just again, back up the Brinks truck at 36. Yeah, but
and
old.
And you just you overdo it. Like, of course they did that. Of course they did that. I think it's I'm out on that deal. I'm in on Chris Paul still. I'm out on the contract.
Yeah, I mean, look at how in multiple ways his body just deteriorated this season. Yeah. Like
he's changed his diet.
Yeah, he completely changed his diet.
He's vegan now or whatever. Yeah. His play style is far less aggressive. It's
well, here's the other thing. When we look at the Suns, right? They had a great run last year, and I like they're a good team. Don't get me wrong, but Clippers without Kawhi, and then Denver without Jamal Murray. Like, not saying they're a bad team, but like now it's like how much better can this team get when you have Chris Paul in that deal? Booker and Ayton like ascended, right? Like that was. That was honestly at times just as important as Chris Paul being there in the regular season, how good Booker and Ayton were in the playoffs. And that core is there, right? But like you said, he's going to be 40, and then you can't really improve this team at much else, right? They brought back Campaign, which is great. And by the way, Campaign probably thought he was getting way more after he and good for him, by the way, his career kind of resurgence. Has been
more
awesome.
Than he ever thought he probably would get, right?
That's the other thing. There was that.
And I also, I will say, I will give flowers to Phoenix for coming. Like, that's a very team friendly deal, 3 for 19. Mm-hmm. But then they just completely fumbled the bag with the 4 for 20 for Chris Paul. I don't mind, you know, JaVale McGee's 1 year, $5 million contract for Phoenix, especially now with the uncertainty for Dario Saric's ACL rehab and everything. I think this gives them. Yeah, well, that, yeah, sorry. Oh, I guess, yeah, he tore it in July.
No, he's not playing.
He'll be done. Yeah, he'll be done.
The finals, he's done. He ain't playing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think this gives them I'm not going to say a versatile big, but someone that you can like relieve DeAndre Ayton.
A three-time NBA champion.
very true. Team USA player, too.
Hey, about to get that goal.
This is Keldon Johnson. Speaking of Keldon Johnson, I'll segue into the Spurs. Before I let Zach monologue for about 20 minutes about the Spurs here, the first Spurs-related piece I want to bring up really, really, really quickly. This is why I did not invite Stefan on this podcast. Patty Mills going to Brooklyn hurts. That hurts a lot. That is a very, 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 very strong pickup. I think that, like, a team like Brooklyn, Milwaukee, I think, would have been a very, very good destination for him. I think he's going to thrive. When I say thrive, he's not going to go out and have like a career year, but just for the role they need him in, I think he's the perfect piece for that team.
I mean, they just leveled Mike James up like 10 times over, right? Like that role that Mike James was playing in the playoffs is Patty's going to be all that and then some. It's funny to watch, you know, Bucks fans and Lakers fans and all these teams that knew how important he could be to a championship run kind of squirm. Well, like I'm sitting here like, man, I'm happy for Patty, man. Like go get you another ring. So I'm right there with you. I don't know how anybody could say that Patty Mills, 2 years, $6 million a year, I think, 12 total. That's a fantastic contract.
It is.
So yeah, I mean, I wish him all the best, and obviously that's it's just the end of an era.
Let's segue into who's coming to San Antonio. I think 3 for 42 is not a contract I hate for Doug McDermott.
It's Zach a fine Collins, like.
Go ahead,
dude. Everything they've done, in my opinion,
there's nothing wrong with it.
They're setting up for the tank. Like the best thing to happen for them this year is over the first two-thirds of the season, both of those guards make slight jumps, but you see big time improvements from Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell.
Yeah.
And when you hopefully see that, you shut one of the guards down, you shut Keldon down, and you completely tank it with Doug McDermott and Zach Collins and all these
guys. I would even say trade Derek White.
Sure, and that's certainly on the table, because both of those guys, both White and Murray, are on really economical contracts for the talent that they bring, especially on the defensive end. I mean, DeJounte Murray's former all defense before he tore his ACL, and he's
you don't have to get me and Adam started about DeJounte Murray.
I have a take about DeJounte.
Okay.
For fantasy, and this is how everybody thought. I think when we go into the season for fantasy wise, I think DeJounte Murray is going to be looked at very similarly to how everybody looked at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last year.
Yep.
He's just going to break out. And it's obviously not exactly the same because we knew the Thunder were tanking. There's still that like potential that Pop tries it. But I think they know what they have in San Antonio right now. The only difference is I just hope that the only problem with that is like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander could have played almost every game last year, right? Like if they were in contention, he got shut down for so many games.
Was he the youngest guy to ever get shut down like that?
Right. Like
how old is Lou Dort?
Lou Dort's
a good question. I mean, he was
because Lou Dort was shut down. They won't say it, but Lou Dort was shut down.
Sure. I mean, he was playing like every third game at the end.
Yeah, they would sit him a couple of them play, but they were playing him more than Shai. Who also
that's true. I guess Shai didn't play for the last 6-7 weeks.
Shai's got a year on him, but
Murray, but Lou wasn't fully shut down. That's
but Murray, I think, is going to be like a prime, obvious breakout candidate this year because everybody knows he's good. His usage rates and his rates in general with throws and off the floor last year were very good, and it's like this team just they don't have anything.
He'll have some very not that he didn't before.
He's going to have a bunch of like 18, 8, 7, and 4 steals.
The triple double upside, he's going to be a night from the betting market. His triple double upside is going to be one that's going to be fun to target.
Zach, is that like the most DeJounte Murray stat line? 18 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals. Like that is such a DeJounte Murray stat line.
Yeah.
And I think
that's such a nice stat line for DFS.
I mean, we saw that a lot this year with DeMar DeRozan on the team. And now the best player with the highest usage is gone. Like, I think there's going to be fantasy value for not just DeJounte, but
Keldon.
Obviously, I'm the big body fan, but
you mentioned Devin Vassell. Like, he didn't play much last year.
He showed flashes when he was out there, man. Like, I'm strapped in and embracing the tank. Like, this team needs to go.
They don't have a lot of rebounders. And we saw Keldon end, like, DeJounte for a lot of games was leading this team in rebounding.
We just signed Jack Landale, okay.
My bad.
Jack Landale for Australia. Look,
the guy was the NBL Finals MVP this year, which I know a lot of people.
Josh Primo?
Well, so what I was getting to him again. We're only 2 minutes into the 20 minutes of Spurs talk here, but so like Jock Landale is a guy who did really well in the summer league 2 years ago. Obviously, I just touted his performance in the NBL, which you know to a lot of people doesn't hold a lot of weight. But when you're talking about your 12th or 13th guy on a team that's tanking, like I think, like I just love the lottery tickets that the Spurs are taking here, like on Doug McDermott, having him for 3 years, like. The guy's a really good scorer and finisher at the rim. Like he can kind of score from all three levels. Like, and it doesn't really matter to me that he's a sieve on defense because the Spurs have a lot of good wing defenders. And again, they're not trying to win. So, and I for that reason, like I love the Zach Collins signing. I even heard some people say that like the Zach Collins signing because of the $22 million was like the biggest eyebrow raiser of free agency. And I just think that's ridiculous. Like it's a lottery ticket. And a really high upside one at that. Like we've seen this guy.
He might be
small.
Really good and like the minutes he gets.
Yeah. And like again, the lower body injuries on guys that are that big, I always tend to think like it's not gonna get better. Right? Like it's guys don't normally that are that tall have foot injuries or ankle injuries or knee injuries multiple seasons in a row and then recover. But again, like $7 million a year for Zach Collins, he could really show us something coming off the bench for them. And if he's healthy, like I wouldn't put it past him to be starting when Pop, you know, because we know Pop's going to shuffle the lineups around and that's going to frustrate us in DFS. But would it blow your mind to see Zach Collins start next to Jakob Pertl for a couple games next year?
No. I would assume it will happen.
Yeah, and these are just things. You can easily move Kelton to the three or whatever you have to
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
Like, and also, you're racing a tank.
You also have, in the DeMar DeRozan move, one of my favorite players in the last, mm-hmm. like, 10 years in Thaddeus Young.
Mm-hmm. And the best thing about that, like, I was kind of hoping they could sneak, like, Coby White from the Bulls.
Yeah.
But the best thing about Thad Young is not only is he a veteran that's really – like, he had a great year last year.
Yes, he did.
But he's a $14 million expiring contract that can be flipped at the deadline. And if they can go pick up, you know, some other young player or a first round pick from one of the contenders that's going to be in the high 20s, you know, that a team will give up for a guy like that, like that's a fantastic move. Losing DeMar for nothing after you lost Aldridge for nothing would have been devastating. And the fact that they got back a usable player for the tank. A protected first round pick, which I'll be interested to see what the protections are on that pick and a couple seconds. Like I'm perfectly fine with that. And I think they're making all the right moves to try to get into that top five or six in the lottery next year. And we can stop the Spurs talk from right there. That's about all we need to speak on them. Probably
can
for
we
the
talk
next
about,
3 months.
Can we talk about Sacramento real quick?
Yeah, that was funny. You mentioned that. So Mo Harkless, Alex Len, both 2 year contracts, did not trade Buddy Hield.
They get Tristan Thompson in that
they
trade.
Got Tristan Thompson, yep.
And they re-signed Rashawn Holmes. I love Rashawn Holmes. Like,
I don't understand the Alex Len signing. I know it was
neither do I.
Whiteside's
a restricted free agent, I believe, so he won't be back. So they'll go into the season, obviously, but the problem is like none of those guys can really play the four.
They've tried to play Rashawn Holmes at the four. It does not work.
Right. And Bagley's NBA. Been like Bagley's future is not long for there. Right. Like he's been very vocal that he wants out. They'll probably try to trade him. So there's another spot in the front court. But the problem is, like, do you want to play TT at the do you want to play double T at the four? No, not necessarily.
Dear Lord.
Yeah. So it's like you don't want to play, like, and that would be the only one you could potentially play at the four because you're not playing Len there. Like, that's the concern I have, but it just has a play, like Rashawn Holmes coming off a career year, 14 points, 8.3 rebounds. He was very good last year, but like, this is another team that I guess, and Buddy Hield too, like Buddy Hield is apparently like he's another player that probably wants out as well. But like, as a player, I think Rashawn Holmes is very good. I'm happy he got that contract. But I agree, like, the Tristan Thompson and Len fits are very questionable.
I just don't, like, what I hated the Davion Mitchell pick. I hated it. Like, I thought
it was very strange.
Well, no, it's on brand for the Kings.
Like, well, yeah.
They do head-scratching things all the time. Like, I feel like once every 6 months I have to pull up the video of Vivek Ranadive, the owner, when they drafted Nick Stauskas and making the entire draft room chant, like, we want Nick to him on speakerphone. It was the most awkward thing I've ever seen in an NBA draft room.
Isn't Mitchell, like, 23, too?
Yeah, that was my biggest thing with him on the draft pod last week is the track record of guys that are, like, 23, 24 in the lottery.
Not good. Not good awful. At all.
And the fact that, like, you've got De'Aaron Fox. You've got Tyrese Halliburton.
Right. So you're going to bring him along behind those guys who are clearly set.
When he's already
and
older
by the
than
time,
him.
Yeah. By the time he finally gets run, he's going to be 25. Like, because Fox and Halliburton, barring some crazy Ben Simmons trade or something, and they've already, I'm pretty sure they've already turned down trades for Simmons that involved De'Aaron Fox. So it's like, I don't think they're going anywhere. Like, he's going to be 25 by the time he actually, you know, gets run because he's not playing. You're not playing him at the two. Like, he's gonna play some with off the bench, but it's like, yeah, that was. I like Mitchell as a player. Didn't like the fit. Didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean,
I completely agree.
They should have taken Şengün or even freaking Moody Moses or who you know Moosey Moody who you know
Moody Moody Moosey
Moses Moody. It just would have been a better fit.
Yeah, that's fair. Couple other contracts before we head out. Devontae Graham, 4 for 47 for New Orleans. I don't think I have an issue with the contract. I think, you know, about 12 million a year is fine.
I mean, if he's the starting point guard for them, he's going to be good for fantasy because we saw him be very good 2 years ago before they brought in Rozier and Lonzo or LaMelo. I mean, so.
Yep. Correct. Oh, I think.
Yo, we didn't talk about Drummond yet.
No, that was my next one. So
this came out of nowhere.
Couple angles you can take here. One, just simply trying to replace Dwight Howard.
I know where you're going.
Joel Embiid and Drummond don't like each other. And that's very, very public.
It's a 1 year deal. Joel Embiid. That's my concern. I know where you're going, but it's a 1 year deal.
2 or 3 years ago, you know, Joel Embiid tweeted a picture of himself carrying bricks, talking about how he lives rent free in Andre Drummond's head. I'm sure they'll be fine. You know, like you said, it's a 1 year deal, but shout out Alex Blickle of FTN. Does this mean Joel Embiid's on the block? Not on the block. Does this mean Joel Embiid might not be a Sixer next year? I have to tease it.
That's what I meant by it's a 1 year deal.
I don't think you signed him
to a 1 year deal.
Exactly. And he's what, 27? Drummond, right? He's younger than Anthony Davis, which blows my mind.
Drummond's 27. Yeah, he just turned 27. Wait, no, he turns 28 on the 10th.
He must have been a Cav at one point. but yeah, I don't know.
It's like, interesting because Dwight Howard, when we saw it, and it's the reason Doc Rivers got absolutely like ridiculed a lot in the playoffs, when they had him beat off the floor, they would have no production from the front court unless Tobias was in. Like, Dwight Howard didn't give them anything offensively unless it was putbacks for getting fouled. Drummond will be like a legitimate high usage guy that can generate some offense when Embiid gets rest, and they'll probably be able to give Embiid just games where he can just sit out and feel comfortable with Drummond at the five because he's a very, very good center still in terms of, you know, producing. He's not obviously Embiid or anything, but the difference is he's not going to be the defender that Dwight was. But again, maybe he won't foul as much either. Dwight was like, I think Dwight like led the league in offensive fouls last year. It's kind of ridiculous.
I will continue to argue that Dwight was unplayable in the second round of the playoffs in those elimination games, and Doc Rivers just kept trotting him out there, picking up irresponsible fouls.
Dude, it was like 4 minutes drawing at a time where he just kept
technical foul,
like, and Simmons and Curry off the floor, and it's like, what are you doing?
I mean, if he showed in a matter of minutes that he wasn't even able to keep his emotions in check with their season on the line, you can't put that player on the court. I do think there's a higher likelihood that it is them simply trying to replace some of what they lost in Dwight Howard. I don't think there is a 100% chance that Joel Embiid is on the team next year.
Obviously, so that would only be a Portland deal, right? You don't move Embiid for anybody but
Dame. Correct. Exactly. I think it would be because I think obviously
their Dame and Simmons though. Like,
I think that could actually work very well
if you just play Simmons at the four and then Drummond at the five.
Yep. Or you can, I would move. What I would do, Drummond at the five. You can play Simmons at the three. You can move Toby to the three. Seth Curry at the two.
Zach, what do you?
No, I don't think I would either. But I don't. Again, Alex Blickle's argument, it's a valid one.
I get it.
If you had to put actual money on any GM in the NBA to do it, it's Daryl Morey.
Yeah, that's fact.
Right? It's Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
And the guy just bought a $5,000 Ben Simmons top shot. So is Ben Simmons going anywhere?
He's just trying to boost his trade value.
Or his confidence. Like,
I just couldn't stop laughing when they signed Drummond. Like, how can those guys really coexist? Like, they hate each other. Wasn't Drummond hiding from Embiid? Like, he would sit out games a couple years ago. Like, this just doesn't.
What are they
going to
do in practice?
Yeah, I hopefully not knock each other out, Bobby Portis style. Like, I don't know, man. Like, this is
that was just such a beautiful segue.
Hey,
give John Horst the raise. That's actually your second segue in 2 weeks, except your one last week set me up for Stefano's just stupid time. The stopwatch joke. I guess we hit on it quick. Bobby Portis, 2 for 9, turned down 9.2 for 1 year. to come back to Milwaukee. And, you know, Zach, you and I talked about it, that you had to take what he said after the finals with a grain of salt, because you are two bottles of champagne deep, cans of Miller Lite deep, with the Larry O'Brien on your lap saying you want to come back. No one is ever going to say they want to leave. He meant it. Yep, I think very team friendly. It's almost, you know, one of my buddies texted, we were texting about it. He's like, I almost feel bad. Like, this is like, I would argue the most team friendly deal in free that was made in free agency so far. But I mean, the thing is, he fills a void. He's proven his value. I think it's great for both sides. Then the Bucks obviously pick up Semi Ojeleye, I'm assuming just to be a Giannis stopper in practice, and and Rodney Hood, who, you know, if Rodney Hood can stay healthy, I'm fine with that. I just, has he ever proven to be able to do that? Not really. So I don't know if you guys have thoughts on what the Bucks did, or really, you know, as we round out here, any other team we didn't really cover. You know, we covered the teams that made the most moves, the significant contracts. Obviously, we had the extensions in Trae Young, SGA. Is there anything else before we head out that you guys want to hit on?
I'm just on the Bucks. I like bringing back George Hill. They're going to sign him.
Saw that. Yep. Do like that quite a bit.
Otto Porter to Golden State.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one. I like TJ McConnell, 4 for 35 on Indy. I think he is a very valuable piece. The only other one I was kind of confused on was Daniel Tice, 4 for 36 with Houston. But I mean, $9 million is not terrible for Tice, but it's like, what else are they going to do?
Yeah, you got to get to the salary Houston floor, right?
Correct. Like, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, who else are you going to pay?
Yeah. $9 million for Tice is fine on a team that's still going to tank, right? Like, yeah, they got one more year doing that.
What about 3 for 72 for Mike Conley for Utah?
That just kind of falls into the category of what else were they supposed to do?
Right.
Exactly. Like, and I don't think they obviously didn't get a fair shake in the playoffs because he was hurt. And so how much better is that team with Mike Conley? Like, do they make it out of the West? I don't know. But I think you had to do it because whatever you think about their window, so to speak, like however small you think that is, that window is now. And if you don't re-sign Mike Conley,
interrupt you quick. Speaking of the Jazz just signed
Whiteside.
So Derek Favors is going to be traded. That's my takeaway from that. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's a move. What, 1 year? What is he? $12 million or something like that for Derek Favors? Movable contract.
I wonder if he makes it through the season with them.
Whiteside?
Yeah. It's just like, I feel like they've got a certain culture going on there now. You know,
I obviously think their fans have a certain culture that I don't know if they'll be a big fan of Whiteside.
maybe his last name. I just don't
swing a trade for Grayson Allen.
he's just not a guy like,
no, I know
that. I just don't know if he can fit into like a winning culture, and that's what they have there now.
And they're like adamant about that too. So I definitely, so Adam, any last words? Oh, the one other one that I like a lot, Jeff Green to Denver, 2 for 10. I like that deal quite a bit. I think Jeff Green brings a lot of value. They just, I feel like Denver has had a crowded front court for 5 years now. Cause you look at, say hypothetically with the four, Jermichael Green, Jeff Green, Trey Lyles, Michael Porter Jr., Paul Millsap. They played MPJ at the three quite a bit last year. Again, he's 6'10". I think playing him at the three does a disservice because they have not like utilized his rebounding ceiling, which I think he could be an elite rebounder because he's so quick. He's 6'10". He just pulls up from 30 feet. He doesn't crash the boards. That's the issue with Michael Porter Jr. So they have a lot of fours, but I think Jeff Green, that contract, I think, is good for a contender, and I consider Denver a contender in the West.
It's funny looking at their depth chart now. I've never seen a J.E. Green, but with Jermichael there, who is J.A. Green.
Oh, they have to do J.E.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That was confusing me. I had to go look, even though you literally just brought up Jeff Green, I had to go look at the list of signings to be like, who the hell?
I'm just seeing what other name would start with J-E.
That team is full. They got 15 guys under contract, assuming they guarantee Chanchar and Dozier. And I think, you know, those guys are going to be contending again. Like, if Murray gets back to 90% of what he was, they're a threat.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, they were winning games without him down the stretch of the regular season. So, like, they're still going to be good in the regular season regardless. Obviously,
I mean,
it's different.
They have a rotation that's legitimately 10 guys deep, like, of significant, of like, good players.
Especially because, like, Jamal Murray going down was terrible, but, like, we got to see that Compazzo is, like, legit. Like, he can hoop.
Hey! Can't talk about
it. Yes!
He can hoop.
I'm glad people are coming around.
Yeah, we have no choice when there's only 2 a.m. basketball right now. So. I guess when I promise this is the last one. When we missed, Kelly Olynyk 3 for 37 to Detroit.
Yeah.
I like that Kelly Olynyk got paid. I think Kelly Olynyk deserved that contract. I just don't necessarily – I think that he can fit well in Detroit. You know, they'll start Isaiah Stewart at center, Mason Plumlee gone. I think he will slide in actually – I don't want to say seamlessly – but he can play both the 4 or 5, and he offers a lot that Isaiah Stewart doesn't offer, especially from the perimeter, So I actually like this signing quite a bit because he, whether it was for Houston in garbage time last year, whether it was for Miami the last year and a half, like he has value on a team, no matter how good the team is. So I like this a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he slides in more like – I don't think – Ja Okafor is somebody that Coach Casey's going to want to play a ton of minutes. I think Olynyk plays majority backup 5 because obviously you've got Jeremy Grant there. You can play Sekou Doumbouya at the 4. Sadiq Bey can slide down. Like, Cade Cunningham's a big dude. He could play some small ball 4 if you're running out, you know, Killian Hayes and Corey Joseph next to each other. And this team's got to fill out the roster, 11 under contract right now. All they have is vet minimums left. So it'll be really interesting to see you know, kind of these like tertiary free agents that are left that end up going to Detroit and want to be part of this rebuild.
Yeah, agreed. And it's beef stew time, man. Like I'm a big Isaiah Stewart guy, so excited to see the development. I think Detroit has a very bright future. I really do. And obviously that surrounds Cade Cunningham. So for myself, Joe, JMets34 on Twitter. The always great Zach Graham at Kweisenberg DFS and Adam Pfeiffer rejoining us, A Pfeiffer24 on Twitter. Fellas, any last words before we head out?
Sports, man. It's fine. I'm a wordsmith. It's not like the greatest time of year for sports, right? That's like baseball and that's it right now in terms of like actual games being played, but NBA free agency, plus, dude, NFL preseason starts on Thursday, Hall of Fame game. So,
and shout out, Hall of Fame game, shout out to Elliot Chris for the closing line value. He got the under of that game at 55 points. It reopened at 33.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So shout out to Elliot. As always, follow us on Twitter, follow the podcast at FTN NBA podcast. Obviously, we will be back at least once a week. More free agency. One of the best times, in my opinion, of the NBA offseason. So for Adam, for Joe, for Zach, signing off. Have a good night.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APPfeiffer24, at JMets34, and at KweisenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.